In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast. Resorts, homes, and the newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulabinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster.
Through stories and Talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, a remote village in Fiji shows surprising strength in development and disaster readiness.
In this climate change, like we are losing everything that can come into our land. But we cannot stop in there. We'll try to encourage our youth, our children, to bring it back, the nature, the beauty of its village itself.
And the plan to help give the power to Pacific communities to help them with things that matter to them.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Over the years, for us in the Pacific, many of us tend to view villages and settlements in the interior or maritime zones as being quite laid back in terms of infrastructure, health and well-being, development and progress in general.
Joe, I would probably say, from what I've seen, and particularly in Fiji, if we think about a village that we went to in
Vanualevo.
Well, in the Sabah Islands, I was going to say, actually.
Sabah Islands, yeah.
Where there was no power, there was no roads, no cars, no streetlights. That's maybe what people are thinking of when they think of communities in the Pacific.
Yeah, but still they continue to thrive, and we were thrilled to see how they connect well with nature and the things that surrounds them to ensure that they survive on a daily basis, and the way of living. It's also applicable not only to the Asawas or any maritime island. It's also applicable to some of the rural and interior parts of Fiji. And I suppose this will also apply to some other most interior or remote communities in other parts of the Pacific. Yeah. So I'll go back to our visit last week, Fred. Myself and Meliki Langi from Radio Fiji 1, we toured a few villages and settlements in the province of Nandrunga. That's in Singatoka, the western part of mainland Vitalevu. And same story as what we experienced in the Asawas, but different location, eh? One in the outer island and one in the interior.
And Joe, you've kind of said that some of these communities are slightly changing or going away from that sort of, I guess, vision that people might have of Pacific communities. How are things changing?
So absolutely, Fred. And I must say that people nowadays, they trying their best to move along with time. and what time brings about in terms of the changes, development, infrastructure, especially internet. This particular village we visited, myself and Maliki, not only this particular village, but other villages in the interior of Nandronga. While waiting for assistance from the government, they are actually taking the onus to start off with something by at least, for example, assisting the... There's a youth group that execute some of the village projects to safeguard nature and contribute to some of the government's sustainable development goals, and how they are, becoming tech-savvy to get updates, especially in times of disaster. We were thrilled and fascinated to have seen that. And I must say that some of these villages in the most remote and interior parts of Fiji and other parts of the Pacific are well at par to some of to as compared to the things and standard of the way of living for people in urban centers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, like you mentioned, Joe, it sounds like the internet has really changed how villages operate and how they're able to be ready and prepared for disasters too now.
Absolutely, yeah. And more into that, we will hear from this particular woman, a woman leader in this village called Wunatowau in the district of Nokonoko, the province of Nandronga, one of the 14 provinces in Fiji. Let's learn more about this story or what we've just highlighted.
All the news about disaster, we had it on the radio station. Like all the houses, they tune to radio station. They listen to whatever comes, especially during cyclones. Nakambulavinaka, or I might say Dholavina, is a Nandronga dialect. I'm so thankful this morning that being part of the program as a climate change, visiting our village today. As to talk, elaborate more of this village called Wunatowau, as already mentioned, we're staying far a bit from town, as mentioned before, 30 minutes drive. The village itself is, like I might say, it's right in the interior of Singatoka, and it's such a very, very unique, I might say, geographical location, the place itself, where the village is staying, close by the river, and it's right inside the bush, and it has... Yeah, it's a unique place where we live, and that's where we're staying. And it covers the whole area with forest, the mandarin trees, lemons that covers the whole areas, nice building houses, I might say evergreen, the village itself. The nature of the beautiful village of Wunatowau is where I'm living in. The population of this village consists of 80 men and youth, or boys, and the total of 68 women and girls living in this village. The total of 15 youth or secondary school students schooling at Dhuvu College, and the total of 20 to 21 children schooling at Nanrumai Primary School. The village itself faces difficulties when it comes to rainy season, when it comes to disaster strikes in the village, when it comes to problem faced every day as a man, as a woman, a youth, people living with this village, and not forgetting people living with disability, including in the village of Wunatowau.
To those of you who are listening in right now, one of the reasons that motivated me to capture their story or Talanoa here at Wunotobo Village, seeing photos and videos that went viral on social media last year about this a small river or a creek, which is called the Nandaka Creek, that is located right next to the river. And it has been prone to flooding in recent years, and eventually caused soil erosion. And a few houses are located next to this Nandaka Creek. You know, just talk about the disaster response in terms of, you know, when villages receive warnings or cyclone alert. What are some of the plans or the approaches that the villages would normally take, for example, to seek evacuation? Where is the evacuation center? And I salute the village elders or the committee that deals with disaster for prioritizing the safety and well-being of villages who are living with any form of disability.
Vinaka, due to disaster respond in this village, Wunotobo itself, I can say that we are including all the disasters that strikes the village. Mostly here the network is all clear, especially when it comes to radio station. All the news about disaster, we had it on the radio station. Like all the houses, they tune to radio station. They listen to whatever comes, especially during cyclones. And when a cyclone's, they normally they used to announce it like 24 hours before the cyclone strikes. And that's the time that we used to pass the message to Turanganikoro, if he is not aware of that news. And Turanganikoro has to call out. And during that time of call out, his duty and my duty too, as a woman leader in this village, I have to reach out to the elderly people, those who are bedridden, wheelchair-ridden, those who are using crutches in their form of walking. They are the first one that we have to save them, take them to the evacuation centers. Before, we used to use the evacuation center as the church itself. It's building on right on top of the hill. It's much safer. And there's nothing that towards or next to this building that can collapse the building or even the tree to fall on it. It's located in such a safe area. We use that as an evacuation center. And just the last 10 years, we built a community hall where all the villagers can be fitted in. But the first response that has to come first is to serve our member living with disability. They are the first one. And being also a woman living with disability is my first priority to Turanganikoro. If he's not aware, I have to respond to the families. For the members living with disability is for them to be taken first. The clothes, the food, the first aid, whatever that is needed for their life, medications, whatever is needed for their life, they are the first one to be taken. Then comes the elderly in different houses, the women and children, especially with a woman with small-born babies. They are the first one to be taken care of. And comes the primary school students and the youth, or the Turanganikoro will be on the last count in the village when it comes to disaster.
Being inclusive is key to when we respond to any emergency or even a disaster. When we were traversing through a bit of a climb to actually reach Wunotobo village, we saw that a few young men, youth of Wunotobo, were planting trees on a piece of land. I believe that is within the village boundary. Can you talk about when did that tree planting initiative started, and the motivation among young people to be more environmentally friendly, and the need to continue practicing tree planting to conserve or to save our environment?
Yeah, Vinaka, in that question, I'm very proud as a woman, as a mother, to answer that question. Yes, being in a Fijian village or being in Vunatovau village, I'm married in this village. I'm originally from Vusama in the Tikina of Malomalo, same province of Nandrunga. Like, I born in the coastal sea, in the sea area, and I brought up in this village to get married and raise my five little children, and I'm here helping the villages, the community as well. In that question, I'll just want to answer back into it. During those years, like, we've lost the native trees planted in this village of Vunatovau. Like, being losing those trees, we encourage the village as a whole, the men and women in this village, and especially the youth ones, our young boys. They were up there in the top of the hill, village on down. They're trying to plant the pine trees in that empty land. So what we are trying to advocate them or to teach them, if by replacing the native trees, we can be just sit, settle, and wasting our time. So what we did, we encouraged these young boys to plant the pine trees. I think like tomorrow or month or years to come, we'll be trying to search again for those native trees and make these young ones to plant more. Because its beauty itself, the beauty of those natures, creates the village and it's beautiful.
It's not only enforcing beauty or beautification in the area, it's also conserving the environment. Mm. Not only that, it also contributes to the government's tree planting initiative to plant at least 30 million trees and mangroves within 15 years. With the issues at hand, flooding, tropical cyclone, any other disaster, what is the need on the ground?
I might say the need on the ground is to create more educational advocacy or teach these young ones, as the elders, they're still here. They'll have to teach the young ones to do more planting, especially like we've lost the native ones that we used before. But now we have to teach these people here, these young ones here, the youth here, to plant more of these native trees. I might say why we want to plant these trees. First of all, to learn. It's a native one that was given from God to their land. And secondly, for them to know what type of trees the name that were given to, the Vesi, Dandakua, Dandamanu. Those are the native trees are known in this area, in this village, in this Tikina. But lately we are so unhappy, unlucky that we are losing these trees. But today onwards, like the young boys are planting right now, we'll continue to do that and make it grow. And it's very useful. It will benefit their future. It will benefit them. They will be benefited from it, from building houses, they'll use money into that. The people will come and buy from them and they'll sell it. It will be a finance for our youth in our days tomorrow. Life in Vunatovau, as you all know, if you are listening to this station this afternoon, life is in Vunatovau still the same. If you might say why am I saying this, we can know by the look of it, or you might head it over in the social media that whatever is happening in this village, you already know. You've been out there. You've been working. You earn your living. Please do think about us again. Think of the water we have in Vunatovau. Think of the conditions of the road where children and the people are traveling to school and to towns. Think about the houses that we build in. Think about the geographical location that we are in. Think about our evacuation centers. Think about where our elderly, we will bring them up in terms of disaster. And also think about our children of tomorrow. We can bring the betterment. We can bring back the beauty of Vunatovau village if you do sacrifice yourself. Do help us. Do give your best. like wherever you are staying right now. You might listening to the message that coming out this afternoon in the village itself. Like we are trying to promote, we are trying to say wherever you are in that stage of life, in whatever that you are going through financially, the betterment of your staying, the betterment of a place that you are working, please to think back in the village. This is where you brought up. This is where you're from. This is originally your place. Please to look back into us. Think of our children. Think of our school children in here. We want to bring them up. You earn a good life. You earn a good living. Do think back. Yavuso Vunambaka is still here. Vunatova the village is still here. And we are still waiting for you. And it's also our prayer. Thank you so much. It's also our prayer. And may the Lord Almighty, Lord God Almighty, give peace in you. And make sure, strengthen you, motivate you. Please do help your village. Vinaka.
That was an absolute timely message from Amelia Kindi about the need to always look back to your humble beginnings. Eh? If you're listening in right now and you're already in the, already working and there's a motivation to contribute and give back to your community or your village, the villages themselves, they are in dire need. And that was Amelia Kindi, a woman leader here at Wonotobao Village in the district of Nokonoko, the province of Narunga Nabosa. Amelia, Vinaka Vakalevu, thank you so much for your time.
Vinaka, Vinaka Vakalevu.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
You're walking down the main street or road in your village or settlement. Then you see that some waves have finally broken over the old seawall that was in place. And now there's water over the road.
For you and your community, this is a big deal and you know it needs to be fixed. But how do you get that information to a very large organization or government who might have the money for this exact problem?
Yeah, so other people have also recognize this gap in the market, and something has been developed to help people in this situation.
Pacific Prepared reporter and Tavuli News journalist Jeremy Guao has this story from Solomon Islands.
The Pacific Islands faces increasing threats from climate change, including stronger storms, rising sea levels, and prolonged droughts. In response, foreign Pacific leaders established the Pacific Resilient Facility, or PRIF, a regional fund designed by the Pacific for the Pacific. At the Pacific 54 leaders meeting in Honiara, I spoke with Finau Songo, general manager of the PRIF and a key figure behind the initiative.
Hello, Olgeta. Good follow morning. My name is Finau Songo. I'm the general manager for the Pacific Resilience Facility. You know, the Pacific Resilience Facility is our facility for the people of the Pacific, by the Pacific. And it's a vision that our leaders had almost 10 years ago because of our desire to give access to climate finance for our people, to make it easier for us to access climate finance. And the signing of the treaty was a very special day because it's been 10 years in the making. We've had many challenges, including, of course, COVID. When COVID happened, we were just supposed to go and fundraise the capitalization amount, but COVID happened, it stopped. And so when borders reopened, we weren't sure. Are we still going to do this? Can we still, execute the vision of our leaders? And one of the questions that was asked is, do communities still need access to finance? And the answer is yes. Our communities still need access to climate finance to build more resilience, amongst our people, right? So that no one is left behind.
The Pacific Resilient Facility is the region's first Pacific-led resilience fund focused on strengthening communities before disaster strike.
Is the first of its kind, not only for the Pacific, but I would say probably for the world as well. Because as a region that's affected by climate change, we're not establishing a non-charitable organization, we are establishing an international organization under international law, which is also going to be our first international financial institution There's going to be a regional climate and disaster financing facility just dedicated to our communities.
The fund provides small grants to build resilient infrastructure, now including schools, health clinic, clean water system, and early warning systems.
We have to be very thoughtful about the cultural context of adaptation, disaster preparedness, and there are things that we'll be able to do that perhaps that the global funds will have limitations on. Yeah? And so in terms of the implementation mechanisms, we'll still go through governments and going through partners. We'll also have the opportunity to go direct to communities, but we have to be able to go through partners, and so there'll be international, regional, national, subnational partners. The key is to be able to lift our subnational partners, lift governments and help our governments build stronger capacity to be able to intermediate funds. But one thing is to intermediate funds. One thing is to move money. The other is to actually implement projects.
With the Pacific Resilient Facility, Pacific nations are investing in long-term resilience, protecting lives, livelihood, and the future of the region.
To be honest with you, it's not going to be easy. That's why it's you and me together. We need to work together in order to execute the vision of our leaders. And the Global Vertical Funds are already using existing national systems. We have to be very mindful of not putting pressure on top of our national systems where it's already scarce resources, not to duplicate existing mechanisms, but also how can we help our members to improve and uplift our services to communities. Yeah? That's really the role of the PIARA.
Thank you, Tomas. Thanks to Pacific Prepared Reporter and the Woolly News journalist, Jeremy Gua, for that story from the Friendly Isle.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
Pacific Prepared.
Coming to an end of another episode of Pacific Prepared, Pinakava Kalevu, thank you so much for always following and listening in every week to whatever we produce from Fiji and other parts of the Pacific.
Yeah, thanks for listening to another episode. Joe, thanks for your help. And to our reporters too, who are across the Pacific, who we work with, we definitely couldn't do the show without them. So.
Yes.
Thank you to them as well.
Absolutely. You're most welcome, Fred. And we couldn't survive or go on with airing our content each week without their support and contribution. So, Vinakawa Kalevu.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fred, I'll talk to you again next week. Same time, same place.
Yeah.
Right here on Pacific Prepared. Thank you so much, Vinaka and Misa Mothe.
Thanks, Joe. Vinaka.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania, also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.